another Hunt for Wolverine episode. I'm going to be talking about Adamantium Agenda number 2. Let me give the creative team really quickly. It's written by writer Tom Taylor. Pencils are by R.B. Silva. Inks are by Adriano Di Benedetto. Colors are by Guru EFX. And letters are by Joe Sabino. So, for those that don't know, there actually was a Avengers team at one time, the New Avengers actually, that had Iron Man, Luke Cage, Spider-Man, Wolverine. So that's kind of the team that's being brought together here. Captain America was on the team also, but he's not here on this one. And I'm not sure actually why Captain America's not showing up in any of the Hunt for Wolverine series. He seems like a kind of a natural person, natural hero to be looking. But anyway, the inside synopsis gives us a quick recap of the previous issue. Talks about when these New Avengers discovered a bomb. It was specifically rigged only to explode when a person activated it, and Wolverine, you know, selected himself to dispose of it for good, thinking obviously he would survive. And then the rest of issue one was Iron Man recruiting his team. So this issue starts out and it's still back in Tribeca when that bomb went off. There was a lot of radiation, and Iron Man was the only one that could really go in there and search for him because of all the radiation. And he doesn't see him at first, and then he finally sees a hand with the claws extended sticking out of the ground, covered in rubble. He takes and clears some of the rubble, and when he finally sees Logan, he says, "Oh man, there's almost nothing left of him. I'm not getting any vitals." And Spider-Man's response is, "But he's Wolverine, he can't die," which is technically true. Iron Man's like, "I'm telling you, there's no sign of life," and then Wolverine wakes up, pops his claws, puts it right through Iron Man's head. Spider-Man freaks out, screaming, "Tony!" And then a fancy car pulls up and Tony's behind the wheel. He says, "Yeah." Spider-Man's like, "I thought you were..." He's like, "What? You didn't hear the bomb disposal expert? Radiation everywhere? I wasn't going to risk myself." But he was remote controlling the armor. And he talks to Wolverine or Logan, you know, through the armor. He sees what the armor sees. And he's like, "Calm down. You're safe. You're relaxed." And so they both kind of sit there while Wolverine's healing factor continues to close up the giant hole in his chest. And Wolverine asks Iron Man, Tony Stark, "What would you do if I was dead?" He says, "I don't know, poke you with a stick?" He says, "No, I mean, what would you have done with my body?" And Iron Man says, "Well, traditionally you'd be buried, but I'd probably leave that to professional." But Wolverine's not really in a joking mood. He's like, "I'm serious. I've been experimented on my whole life. Don't want that to happen when I'm dead. I don't want to be somebody's science project." And Tony's like, acts surprised, like, "Hey, I'd never." And Wolverine tells him, "Hey, sometimes you see potential before you see a person, Tony. I die, you leave me alone. Promise me." And Tony Stark promises. And Wolverine asks one further favor by saying, "Promise you won't let anybody else get their mitts on me either." And so it gives us kind of an understanding and a motivation for why Wolverine, or why Tony Stark is so hell-bent on finding Wolverine's body. And if you guys remember, or you joined us for the first episode, Adamantium Agenda, we saw that it ended on the cliffhanger of Danielle Cage's DNA being offered up for sale and at a black market auction on a submarine 200 feet down off the coast of Guam. So obviously her parents being on board were pretty freaked out, but when they boarded the sub along with Spider-Man and Tony, what they didn't realize is that only one member of their group would be able to go to the auction. So that's Tony, and the rest of them are having to listen in via their earpieces. So they're asking Tony what's happening, and actually not much, to be honest. Nobody really wants to bid on Danielle Cage's DNA, because they're like, well, she doesn't have powers. And there's someone dressed, everyone has disguises, you know, black market underground auction. You're not going to give away who you are. And there's someone that has what looks like a Cyclops visor with these giant wings on the side. And after this guy with the Wonder Man suit and the Iron Man mask offers up the DNA of Daniel Cage, nobody really says anything. Until a few people, yeah, we thought we were bidding someone who actually has powers. And Tony tells his team, I don't think anyone's really interested in buying your daughter's DNA. And then Luke kind of flips it. He's like, what? Are they saying Danny's not good enough? And the person that has the code says, hey, both her parents have powers. She's bound to have them one day. Get, this is your chance to get in on the ground floor. So Tony bids $30,000 and he wins it. So he's managed to save Danielle's DNA. And then we see our next item, and Tony bids again, and Jessica Jones is like, are you bidding on something else? He's like, hey, I don't know when I'll be at a black market auction again. I know a good thing when I see it. So he's actually building on an old computer. And then as the page gets turned, we find out that one of the other attendees at the auction, the one that had the wings on the side with the Cyclops visor, whispers in his ear and said, we should wrap this up, Stark. Tony's like, what? He tells everybody, somebody made me. So obviously he's a little worried at this point. And then when one of the guards comes up and asks if he's done, he says, yeah, I'm done. I'm not going to be bidding on anything else. And they're saying, okay, the final part of your transaction will be completed with the seller in your stateroom. So he heads back to the stateroom and the guy shows up with the DNA and he says, you know, if you can get your hand on actual superhero genetic codes, if money's no object, if you have what I want. And Tony says, or the guy says, what's that? And he said, and Tony says, the genetic code of Wolverine. The guy, no hesitation, sure, 6 million. And they're like, what? You have it? He says he does. I have it. And you can have it for 6 million. But before anything else can go down, Spider-Man's spider sense starts tingling. Mr. Sinister shows up. He's going to kill the guy that apparently stole all this genetic material from Mr. Sinister. But Spider-Man manages to deflect the blast. But unfortunately, it goes out the side of the sub. So they're immediately inundated with water and looking for something to plug it with. And Jessica Jones actually grabs Luke Cage, says, come here, and uses him to plug the hole. And he's like, seriously? And her response is, do you see anything else within easy reach that can handle this pressure? Spider-Man, a little help. And Spider-Man webs him into place to plug up the leak, to which Luke Cage says, I am not a permanent solution to this problem. Meanwhile, Mr. Sinister still continues to grapple with, I guess, a former worker of him who stole from him. And he's choking him. And as he's doing that, Tony Stark puts on his Iron Man armor, fires a blaster, repulsor blast at him, but he still doesn't let go of the guy. And then we see the person with the Cyclops goggles and the wings on the side of her mask give the advice, I'd listen to Iron Man if I were you. And Mr. Sinister's like, who are you to command me? And she says, me? As she pulls off her mask, and we see a snicket. And it's Wolverine, but not the one you're thinking of. As she slices off Mr. Sinister's hand, it's X-23, it's the female Wolverine, Laura, whatever her name is. I don't even know if she has a last name. And that's it. That's the end of the issue. So it's not that this is a bad story. But honestly, I'm not really going to have that much to say about it. It's going to be a relatively short podcast because not that much really happens. I think that my favorite part of the book is actually the opening sequence with Wolverine and Iron Man. It actually evokes a little bit of emotion, seeing Wolverine worried about what's going to happen to his body after he dies and getting Tony to promise that his body would be kept safe. He won't be experimented on anymore. He won't be, you know, used in any amoral or unscrupulous ways when he's dead. But other than that, then we get a little bit of the auction, and then we get this fight in the stateroom, and the sub being flooded. It's not a lot going on. I have a feeling that when I finish reading all of Adamantium Agenda, it's going to be one of those stories that I feel they kind of padded out to make it reach the four issues it needs to reach, like all the other Hunt for Wolverine miniseries. I mean, I don't know yet, obviously, because I've only read the first two, but I'd be very curious to sit down and read them all when all four are out and see if it actually feels like it would have been suited better as a three-issue series rather than four. So as far as the art goes, it's really strong. R.B. Silva does a great job. And I think that the color work by Guru EFX is done really well. Also, especially the special effects when Mr. Sinister shows up. So I'm actually not up as much as I should be on Mr. Sinister. Again, I know he works a lot with Genetic Code, so he seems like a natural person to show up here. But, you know, he's traditionally been an X-Men villain, and here he's, you know, fighting against the Avengers. So that's a bit of a change as well. So yeah, this is a good book, but not a great book. I felt like the first issue was great. This was kind of a step back, but I don't know, I guess I just kind of like the recruiting scenes where, you know, Tony was running around, getting the team together. Whereas, you know, here they're already together, and, you know, it just feels like we don't really get that much. Like the whole thing with Tony bidding on other items, it just didn't feel necessary to me. So. Based on the cover that is in the back of the book, the kind of the sneak peek of what happens next, it looks like Mr. Sinister is gonna be there for issue 3, and we see Jessica Jones, Spider-Man, and Luke Cage all fighting against various Mr. Sinisters. So again, not a whole lot here. And it may be a matter of pacing. It may be the fact that the story Tom Taylor had to tell just really didn't need to have four issues to tell it. But again, they want everything to line up, so they're going to make it last four regardless. But yeah, I love the artwork, love the color. The story is fun. And I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see what next month's Adamantium Agenda has in store. We're two issues in, haven't seen Wolverine at all yet. Well, not the James Howlett Wolverine. We only see X-23. So, as I said, it's going to be a bit of a shorter episode because there's just not that much to say. And Nick got stuck working overtime this week, and so he wasn't able to join me as well. So, again, I think it's certainly worth reading. I think that perhaps when it's all said and done, it'll read better as one big story, one larger story. That's really part of an even larger story, which is the entire Hunt for Wolverine leading into the Return of Wolverine coming later this fall. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Comic Source Podcast. Don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the show. When you're there, please check out all our other coverage for pop culture, movies, TV shows, all that kind of good stuff. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So thanks for listening, as always, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.